What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Track Talk Podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah and Emma. And if you can't already tell, oh, I said Hannah and
Emma.
Yeah, you did. Thinking about myself. Sorry. It's not about me. If you can't tell already from the better audio, I'm back. We're back.
We're in person. We've been waiting for this for like 6 months.
Longer, I think. I think.
It's so much better when it's in person.
I agree.
It's just better.
Yes. Because even last week, it was like our last time recording and we were having so many like audio issues. Yeah. And I was like, honestly, I'm so sick of this shit. Like, get me back in the room. Get me back in the studio.
Studio, Jesus Christ. It's hot in the studio though, which is fine.
A little bit.
It's
okay.
It's cool. We'll make it through.
Yeah.
There was only one race this week. I guess there was IMSA as well, but I didn't watch IMSA.
I didn't watch IMSA either.
There was an IndyCar race this weekend. And then there was huge news.
Huge news.
That we didn't predict, but like, we knew it was coming
before last season even ended. Before the 2024 season even ended, we were under the assumption that there might be a driver change at Alpine in 2025.
Yeah.
So like, this is not news to anybody, I don't think.
No, it was. I remember reading the articles before the first race of the season in Australia,
right?
And it was like, Jack's to be replaced by Franco, and we're like, give him a race at least,
right?
They gave him six, five. How many races had it been?
Six. Yeah, six races. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And might I also just say that I had heard it was the sixth race, and I was like, that's not going to happen because Brittany, one of my friends who listens to the show, she's traveling. She's in Europe right now. She was, I believe, in the London Heathrow Airport, and Franco was on her flight.
Oh?
And sitting in a middle seat.
Franco Colapinto sitting in a middle seat?
So I was like, I gotta check this out with everybody. I'm sure it's fine, but.
That shocks me.
Right? And also, so like, F1 was most recently racing in Miami, and he was in London, so I don't know if that I just didn't think that for whatever reason the proximity made sense, but I guess it's Imola this weekend and Italy is closer to
like they wouldn't even splurge for like comfort or comfort plus.
That's why I was like, this is not an F1 driver, right?
Yeah,
this is a reserve driver at most.
Apparently not.
I thought even a reserve driver would have maybe a,
you can afford comfort plus.
Maybe a window seat.
Franco, maybe you want my points? You can use them. I'll get you that upgrade. Just bring me to a race.
So yeah, that happened.
Okay. And also, team principal Oliver Oakes leaving Alpine. And then 24 hours later, we had the driver change announcement. So like a lot happened. But did you see the discourse about Oliver Oakes' brother?
Yes.
Okay, because I want to talk about
that. I have a quote from motorsports.com because I was like, I don't want my name tied to anything to do with the Mazepin family and potential crime.
I think we might have been looking at the same article.
All alleged.
Okay, so here, I'll scroll. I don't know where I found it. To keep you or to catch you up, if you're not familiar with the news, so William Oakes, so Oliver Oakes, was the team principal of Alpine.
He resigned.
His brother, William Oakes, and Oliver as well, but they were both directors at High Tech Grand Prix, which is like a motorsports team.
F2,
but they also have ties in like British F4, F3 kind of thing. But William Oakes, he was arrested last week and charged with transferring criminal property. So he's now being replaced at High Tech. But like, so just the Oakes name right now is not doing too hot, but in William Oakes in 2022, he became the director of the High Tech team, and he did this by creating a new company that bought a controlling stake in High Tech from Dmitry Mazepin, who is Nikita Mazepin's father.
Yeah.
And that ownership, like that change happened literally like 3 days after Dmitry was sanctioned by the UK government.
Mm-hmm.
So like to get rid of, like removing Russian ties or Russian ownership from the team, like William Oakes kind of stepped in.
Right.
Which means he has ties to the Mazepin.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And then also allegedly, this has nothing to do with Oliver Oakes resigning.
Yes. I think there's a couple things at play with Oliver Oakes resigning. I think that could be this, but it could also be that I have seen people say, like, he didn't agree with the driver swap.
Okay. That's another thing about Flavio Briatore.
Yeah.
Where's this quote here? I saved it because I was, like, shocked. Okay. I think this is from motorsport.com as well, but it said Briatore called the shots. Oakes had the inevitable task of justifying the Oakes had the inevitable task of justifying the decisions on his behalf. So like, basically saying, like, Briatore ran the team, and, like, Oliver Oakes, like, there was just conflicting.
Well, I don't think that Oakes had a say at all, actually. So I don't know if there was necessarily, maybe it was a moral thing. He was conflicted morally, but I don't think there was conflict within those two, because it seems to me, okay, backing up the train, Flavio Briatore, this was controversial last year because he actually previously received a lifetime ban from the FIA to no longer be involved in Formula One. This is from 2009. He used to be the team principal for Renault. Mm-hmm. In 2008. And in the 2008 season, he allegedly instructed Nelson Piquet Jr., Max's baby's grandfather.
No. Max's
baby's uncle.
Max's brother-in-law.
Max's baby's uncle.
Max's... Kelly Piquet's brother.
Yeah.
I think is the one way to say it. Nelson Piquet's son.
Okay. Yes. To crash deliberately to help Fernando Alonso win the Singapore Grand Prix.
Is that Crashgate?
It is Crashgate. Following?
I didn't know that was Briatore.
Yes. He was a team principal. Made the call. So he was then banned by the FIA to be involved in anything Formula One going forward. However, a few days later, he appealed it. A French court overturned the ruling. That's why last year when he came back to Alpine, it was like... people were kind of, like, confused because I don't think that lots of people knew that the decision was actually overturned. So he wasn't doing anything, like, wrong.
But I still feel like if at one point the FIA wants nothing to do with you.
Well, yeah, I would agree. Like, if you're not wanted, why would you be there? But it's Formula One.
That's fair.
So that's why I think Oakes maybe was the puppet.
Yeah.
And Briatore was acting TP. But not outwardly, because I think it just would have caused so much more outward discussion and controversy had he just been named team principal because he had formerly been banned by the FIA.
No, that's however, so true.
He's now team principal again.
So he was advisor, executive advisor, or is it like an advisor to the C team, which is like, what the fuck does that role
puppet
even
master.
Mean? Absolutely. You know, and it's like, we were reading the same article, but it compared Briatore and Oakes to, like, McLaren, like, Andreas and, like, Zach Brown.
Yeah.
But there's, like, clear roles between the two of them where
right.
Zach's CEO, Andreas is, like,
team... Andrea.
Andrea? That is Andreas.
No. Andrea Stella.
Got it. Andrea. Anyway, but it's clear defining roles between the two of them and, like, Zach Brown steps in when he needs to.
Right.
But... he's not puppet master, you know?
Right.
I don't believe
right.
that. Like, I think Andrea does a very good job at team principal, clearly. He's doing something right. Anyway, so yeah, I guess Briatore is now team principal, acting team principal.
I think this was the plan all along.
Absolutely, this was a plan. And then, I don't know if this is true or not, but that Briatore was having conversations with, like, Argentinian sponsors before bringing, like, Franco in.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, like, kind of pushed that narrative more that, like, this was the plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Jack too. He did nothing to sway their decision. I will say, if the decision was
mm-hmm.
was already being talked about before the season even started, his performance didn't really sway that in any way. Like, I don't think
like his best race finish was, like, equivalent to Pierre's worse, is what I saw.
Okay, yeah,
I like, that's that, not
but yeah it. But people are wondering, like, what does Pierre Gasly have to say on the matter, and he's staying, like, totally silent.
Nothing.
Radio silence.
He's not saying anything, and I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
Like, he's no, like, no, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything. I would just say, like can you make sure whoever is in the seat, like, doesn't think that they're number one driver? Like, like, do you know what I mean? Franco's not coming in here with the, like, with the expectation that he's going to be, like, the number one guy on the team. Like, that's still Pierre. And he still also only has 5 races. The same thing.
Well, so, yeah. So
allegedly. I'm sorry. Is that allegedly or is that true?
No, that's alleged. That's, yeah. That I don't think that is, like, fact. I think that's rumor. Races.
But they can only have 4 drivers per team. Essentially, like, 4 drivers in the car. Like, 4 drivers per team.
Yeah. Yeah. Per car?
No, per team. Okay. Like, I think in the season, you have your driver lineup. Something happens, you replace one of them. Something happens, you replace the other. But then, like, you're stuck with those two. Which is why it was a huge thing last year when, who was it? Like, Liam Lawson stepped in for Danny Ric. But then there was talk about Lawson having to go race a different series. And then they're like, we're going to get Nick DeVries back in this car. Remember, like, that conversation?
Not at all.
Maybe that was 2 years ago or something. Maybe, I think it was 2 years ago. But yeah, it was like, because they had already, that would be like their maxed out 4 drivers.
That would have been 2 years ago because yeah. That's the last time Nick DeVries was actively on an F1 roster, we'll say. Okay, interesting. Very odd scenario. Now, I think back to that narrative in Drive to Survive. I mean, it came from Pierre's mouth, so it seems to be true. He was looking to move on from AlphaTauri a few seasons ago, looking for a seat at a more contending team. So he went to Alpine. I mean, that's a lateral move at best.
He got a podium.
He did get a podium.
But he also got a podium in AlphaTauri. You know?
He won a race with AlphaTauri.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I read that the average lifespan is not the right word, but the on average, the team principals at Alpine was like 390 days or something.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I did see that.
That, I think as a driver, I'm not a driver, but I think as a driver in that team, I would just lose confidence. Like,
yeah.
What's going, you don't know what's going on, like, with the upper management. You don't, like,
yeah,
it would just psych you out a little bit, would it not?
Yeah,
there's,
I mean,
that many changes.
Instability at the top definitely does carry into the rest of the team for sure. So yeah, I just think it's a little bit of a disaster over there. We can move on though. I think we've probably covered enough of, did you watch the Lego race?
I didn't, did you?
No, but I need to find somewhere to watch it because I was so pumped.
I didn't know that was a real thing.
So pumped.
So I guess the driver parade was an actual, or was it separate? Was that the driver parade or was it something
different? I don't know. Did they do a separate, did they do a separate Lego race or was that the Lego race?
I'm going on YouTube. I think it was on YouTube. Because we were like, they were raising each other, but maybe they were supposed to and we just didn't know.
But we, if so, like, marketing it as its own Lego race is a little silly because we definitely all watched the driver's parade, which you cannot say at most races.
F1 Lego race in full, 2025 Miami Grand Prix.
Oh.
Let's see.
Is that from Formula One?
Yeah. Okay. So I think this was the driver's parade, but it was also... Why? Charles literally looks like he's taking a leisurely drive down... Esteban dropped his phone, I think. This is so fun. I think it was the driver's parade.
Okay.
I don't think it was anything different. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm less excited now. I thought it was its own Lego race, and I was, like, super pumped. But that doesn't make sense. Those cars have max one race.
That's it.
Yeah.
But it was still great.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I want to talk about Cadillac F1.
Okay. What's going on in the world of Cadillac F1? I know nothing.
So they had their... They had their, like... It was almost like a launch party, kind of, in Miami.
In Miami, yeah.
Where they released their logo.
I feel like I'm being locked by my computer. We're okay.
Where they released their logo, and that was kind of it. It was a little disappointing to watch from the outside. I don't know what exactly was announced or what happened at the actual launch. Their logo looks the same as the Cadillac logo.
Yeah, what I gathered.
But I guess in Miami there was a lot of talk about Checo coming back for that. But the only driver in attendance at that launch was Mick Schumacher. I know. So it's like,
don't tease me like that.
No, I'm serious. He was there. Like, he was at the launch. That's what people were saying.
You know I love Mick Schumacher.
I know. Everyone loves Mick Schumacher. But the team principal of the team, apparently his shortlist includes Joe, Valtteri, and Felipe as potential in their lineup. So Mick didn't even cross my mind as potentially coming back. Because he's been so focused on WEC. Like, that's what he's been doing. I don't know so much this year. He's still in WEC, is he not?
I think so.
But, yeah, I guess he was at the launch. And then also in other motorsports news, it's been 12 years since Fernando Alonso's last race win.
Whoa.
May 12, 2013 at the Spanish Grand Prix. Isn't that wild? And he was driving for Ferrari at the time.
Did we get any messages about us saying that maybe it was time for him to go?
No. I mean, we had people like agree.
Really?
Yeah. But no
one... I was a little worried putting that out there.
I don't know. Like, we didn't get any. I mean, if we clip it, we might get some messages.
Maybe don't.
But if you're listening to this, we think it's time for him to retire. I mean, okay, but in that time, like, in the 12 years since his last win, he's moved teams, retired, came back to F1, and moved teams again.
Right.
And has only been on the podium a handful of times with Aston Martin since then. Is it his time to go? You tell us. That's all I'm going to say. Everyone can have their own opinion. IndyCar?
Yep. Alexander Rossi had a baby.
Alexander Rossi had a baby. I'm obsessed. That makes me so happy for him.
Sorry, I should say. Kelly, his beautiful wife, Kelly, had a baby. And
they had a baby.
Nobody really knew they were pregnant.
No.
Like, nobody who wasn't on the inside. So that's really exciting for them.
Did I tell you I got a Rossi shirt?
No.
It's literally just an Ed Carpenter Rossi shirt.
Really?
With his face on it. That's take it to the 500 if you want. Kind of wild. Of all drivers for me to get a shirt with their face on it.
Right.
Rossi. Why? I don't know. It was a cool collection. I was like, I kind of want this.
Yeah, it's fair. I don't think I'll wear it at the 500, but thank you for offering.
Okay, yeah, that's also the difference. I just came to mind. Merch at IndyCar is like actually affordable compared to merch at F1 races. Is that your one hiccup for the day?
I hope so.
Okay. Merch at F1 races are insane.
Insane.
Insane prices, but IndyCar is actually really affordable.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same everywhere you go.
Yep. My Indy 500 hat that I got last year was, I believe, $25.
Yep.
So, yep, affordable.
As opposed to, like, what, $160 for a pink Pirelli hat or something?
It's actually insane.
But it's so beautiful I don't blame people for spending money on that hat. But, like, also it was $90 online.
But, like, if also if none of us spend, if we all agree not to spend that amount on it, then they'd have to drop the price.
Yeah, but they're not going to drop the price. It's Formula One. They had, like, concerts. I'm trying to get us all to band
together.
Okay, guys, boycott F1 merch at the races.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Is that the episode name? Allegedly.
Okay. Well, I've been listening to some true crime stuff today, so it's been in my head.
Have you?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, I'm kind of obsessed, sounds bad because it's obviously so tragic, but I follow all of the Idaho 4 updates, okay, and they just did another Dateline episode about the Idaho 4 murders on Saturday night, or Friday night, sorry, and it was 2 hours, and there was a lot of new evidence, and I watched it with my sister because we're both like,
Was it on Dateline, you said?
Yeah, it was on Dateline. We both found this case so interesting because it just seemed so random.
Yeah.
And then also it makes you think, like, he, like, literally was just kind of, like, he was a student, a criminology student, who was learning about these people he idolized. Came to know Ted Bundy, and that's how, you know, people, like, get inspired in a way.
Which is
so scary. So I was watching a lot of that stuff today, and then... Allegedly. It's made its way into my brain.
I know. I feel like I watch so many true crime videos and, like, listen to so many episodes. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, podcasts. Yes.
Like, that's my thing.
You much more than I.
And so the amount of times we're like, allegedly, like, they just, So I get it.
Yep. No one's trying to get sued.
I want to talk about IndyCar. So they had their road course at IMS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I didn't realize it. I don't know why I never clicked, but they race the opposite direction on the road course as opposed to left on the oval. They go right.
Correct.
Yeah. Thanks.
I had to think about it.
Why didn't you believe me?
I believed you, but it just wasn't.
You had to picture it.
I had to visualize it.
Anyway.
Also, does anybody know why they always do this on Saturdays? Because
I think there's a huge NASCAR race on the Sunday. I think. Could be wrong.
No.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
NASCAR was, at least the Cup Series was in Kansas this past weekend.
So it wasn't even that big of a race. No. I mean, it was NASCAR. Can we Google it?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily really matter, but I just... No,
but I want to know, like, I...
Like, I'm not used to Saturday races. I was, like, busy. So.
No, I was also busy.
But halfway through, I tuned in and then watched the rest, so...
I don't know. Maybe it's to give, like, the teams more time, like, an extra day or whatever, more time to prepare their car for the oval, like, okay. For the 500. Because it's a completely different setup.
It is a much different setup.
I don't know.
Doesn't
tell me. But it's always on a Saturday.
Next weekend is Indy 500 qualifying.
I thought it was 2 weekends. Oh, my God. It's next weekend. No, it's this weekend. Oh, my.
This weekend.
This weekend. It's like, oh, my God. The Indy 500 qualifying is this weekend.
Yes. So, I can't remember. It is a two-day affair, correct?
Yeah.
So, it's Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
Or is it Friday, Saturday? I want to tell the people, because you guys, like, I'm dead ass serious. Qualifying for the Indy 500 is as entertaining as the most entertaining race that you would watch. Like, it is so much fun.
Qualification, day one quali is May 17th. And then, okay, I feel like we explained this last season.
We need to explain it again.
Okay.
One second. So you said day one's the 17th.
Yes.
That is Saturday. I'm assuming day two is going to be Sunday. It's the 18th. That's everybody. Put that in your calendars.
Everyone put that in the calendar. So only, I'm trying to think, there's 33 drivers allowed.
Yes.
Sometimes we have more than 33 cars that will qualify. So everyone has a chance on day one to qualify.
Is there more than 33 cars this year?
I don't know. Actually, that's a great question. I'm going to say yes, because no.
I don't know who it possibly could be, though.
Team Penske, we have the three drivers. We have the two for AJ Foyt, David and Santino, Aaron McLaren, the regular three, plus Kyle Larson.
It's one additional. Huh? I'm keeping track of your additional drivers.
Meyer Shank, our regular two, plus Helio Castroneves.
I forgot about
Castroneves. I didn't know he was racing this year. Chip Ganassi, always. The same three. RLL, bringing in Takuma Sato.
Mm-hmm.
Dale Coyne Racing is the same. Dreyer Renbold Racing has two. So Ryan Hunter Ray and Jack Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Carpenter's coming back for...
I forgot about Ed.
And then Marco Andretti.
Yes.
So that's an extra seven.
I can't remember.
Six or seven drivers, which would mean there's 33... Okay, we need to do this again, because if there's 33, then it's fine, but I think it's 34.
Okay.
So Marco Andretti.
Yeah.
Ed Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Harvey and Ryan Hunter Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Takuma Sato.
Mm-hmm.
Helio Castroneves.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson. So it's seven extra drivers, which brings it to 34. 34. Which means only 33 of them actually race.
Correct.
So here is what actually... So
there's going to be one bump.
So with 34 cars entered, only 33 of them, like we said, make the field. Qualifying is a 4-lap run. So yes. Each driver goes out and they have 4 laps, and it's the average of their fastest 4 laps.
Well, they go out for 4 laps.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Their first one is like a warm up, and then there are 3 laps. It's not based off time. It's based off speed.
Speed. Correct.
Whatever. So all 34 of them go out on the Saturday. And then the drivers who rank 13th to 30th on the Saturday, those are their spots. That is where they are starting on the grid for the Indy 500 the next week. So then we have the last four. I can't do math. So then we move to Sunday. And Sunday we have the last chance qualifying. And then we have like the regular 12 and then fast 6 qualifying. So for Sunday qualifying... trying to think here. I know how this works. Sunday qualifying, Sunday qualifying, the drivers that had qualified 1 to 12 on the Saturday, mm-hmm. they go out again. and the top six move on. Mm-hmm. So position 7 through 12 are now confirmed for the Indy 500. After that, they move on to last chance qualifying. And those final four drivers, literally their last chance to get spots 31, 32, 33. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one, bumped.
Mm-hmm. They call it bump day.
Bump day, pretty much, because that's what it is. And then after that is the Firestone Fast Six, where we finally see who gets pole position and where those top six placements, mm-hmm. the first two rows, are laid out. Mm. That is IndyCar qualifying.
Is there not, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but on Saturday, is there not an opportunity for those, for drivers who don't like their standing to go again? Like, there's two lanes. Remember the lane yes. thing?
Yeah.
Am I testing you?
No, you're right. Okay. So after every driver has the opportunity to go out on track.
On Saturday.
I'm sorry, this is Saturday. After every driver has a chance, the drivers can make multiple attempts if they want. So let's say, okay.
But there's a time frame.
Yes. So they have a certain amount of hours for qualifying for the Saturday. And so you can go as many times if you want. So there's two lanes that the drivers can choose from. This is so fun. I love qualifying for Indy 500. It's fucking insane. Once all the drivers have gone, you can either, I'm just going to use Pato as an example. Let's say Pato right now, he did his time. He's coming in at like 14th right now as it stands.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm safe, I make it, but I think I can do better. He can either go, which lane is it? I think lane one. So you can go into the priority lane and abandon your time mm-hmm. to try and get a new one. Mm-hmm. But if you end up with the worst time, you're now stuck with that time. Mm-hmm. Or you can go into lane two, try for a better time. And if you get it, you get it, mm-hmm. which is great. Except you have to wait in the huge line.
Right.
And you have to wait. And like Pato now has to wait till everyone in the priority lane or lane one goes first.
Right.
And then he gets his chance.
Right.
So if you're like, no, I need to go out. I know I can do a better lap. You want to go into priority.
Right.
But let's say like I would... It's risky, but some drivers wouldn't do it. And right. like,
depending on their standing.
Yeah. Like if you're
in 30th, you're going to go again.
Yeah. You're going to go again. Like abandon that time.
Abandon your time. Yeah.
Go again. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. I hope that makes sense.
But I also have watched it before, so I'm hoping it makes sense to all of you, but we will also be available this week for, for questions.
I'm so excited. I did not know qualifying was this week.
Let's put out a question box about questions about the Indy 500 qualifying, like on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We can answer them so that you guys can go into Saturday and Sunday with hopefully a clear idea mm-hmm. of what you're watching. It'll also make more sense while you're watching it. The commentators do a great job of explaining.
That's it.
I believe that is all.
Yeah. I think that's it. I definitely had notes last year, but I found a link that had everything right there, which is nice. I wanted to talk about the road course and then we got distracted.
I know.
No, it's okay. We still
But you know what? Like we, yeah.
There's not too much happening on the road course. We finally saw our first caution. Did you watch?
Yeah.
Did you hear the commentators?
I did. And they said 380 laps of green.
Yeah. But the funniest thing was the commentators, they were like, I think it had to be Hinch. And I think it was Hinch and Buxton that were like, it must be a caution. No, it's got to be. Surely not in 2025. Like they were going back and forth because they were like, is this actually a caution?
Yeah.
It was a caution.
Yeah.
Poor David Malukas.
Yeah.
But the first caution that we saw, was pretty much in a handful of races.
380 laps of green. That's all I know.
That doesn't seem like that many laps.
No, that's a lot of laps.
Yeah, but this race had like 80 some laps.
If a race is, so it's like three races back. Almost four races back we're going. That's our last caution.
I guess, yeah.
So.
Also, there was a new rule implemented. Sorry.
Okay.
So drivers, typically in all IndyCar races, they have to use at least one set of primary, one set of alternates.
Yeah.
Sticker reds is what they call it. It would be like comparable to the soft tires.
Yep.
For this race at the IMS road course, they made it mandatory to use two sets of primary and two sets of alternates. And I think it was smart that they did that because it made for better racing.
Three pit stops. So everyone was on a three stopper.
Yep. And a few of them on a four stopper, but it's fine. You have to rethink all of your strategies at that point. Yeah. Now that that's implemented, but they, like, following this race, they're now trying to see, like, which future races it should be used on. Mm. And I think that if we saw this in Long Beach and even, like, St. Pete's, the whole, like, it would have been so different. And I think it would have been better racing. Obviously, it would have been so fucking different.
Well, I think IndyCar is freaking out a little bit right now because...
Because those road course, street courses are kind of boring.
They've put so much... Well, so Fox, the Fox contract came in, mm-hmm. and it was a big money contract for IndyCar, and they've put so much money into the marketing of IndyCar, and this season so far has been boring.
I know.
Like, really boring.
Alex Palou winning four out of five races. Congratulations to him. He's a great driver, but oh my God, give us something.
It's giving Formula One in 2023. Like, I'm bored.
So I think this helped introduce...
2023 or
2022? 2023. Yes. And 2022, but 2023.
Because
that's when Carlos won the one race.
So I think right now they're kind of like, oh my gosh, we've sunk so much money into this. People aren't watching it. Like, even us, who are dedicated IndyCar fans, we're like finding... This is boring. Like, we're... So, like, how do you market it to new fans when your racing product is, like, a little boring at the moment?
Well, that's how. And I think, like, I think that was smart. And I hope to see this at, like, future, at least future street courses, because like the drivers have gone publicly, like on record, saying like they don't have high expectation for street courses, like with their new tires that they have, with the new setups, like the hybrids, like it's not the best racing this year. And so having those extra mandatory pit stops, like that makes it a little bit more interesting.
But also I wish that they would move the season around a little bit. Instead of having 5 road and street courses to start the season, mix an oval in. Like, why do we do all of our road street, then oval, then a little bit of street course action again, then we're doing ovals for the rest of the season? Like, I think it needs to be like, to be alternated almost.
And there's no shortage of tracks either. Correct. I mean, it's like contracted obviously out for how many years for all these tracks. And I know they also have to work with at least ovals, like alongside NASCAR, to not interfere.
Yeah,
which makes sense. Right. I get that.
And I mean,
but no, I agree. Like, why? So. Like, we watched like four oval in a row. Like, kind of. I love oval races. I do. But the whole reason I love IndyCar is because it's such a good mix of oval, street, and road. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I get it.
So if I'm,
I'm struggling right now. Oh yeah. Oh shit. Anyway, I've been in the States for too long.
You really have. That was very like Minnesotan.
Minnesotan. Yeah,
it's cool, it's fine. Yeah, we saw, I was gonna say we saw Rossi win. We did not see Rossi win. We saw Palou win.
Wish.
But we did see RLL kind of get their shit together a little bit. Like
Graham led
49.
Okay, I thought it was 48.
He led either 49. I wrote Ray Hall led 49 laps. Shitty pit stop. Those were my notes on him.
Yeah.
Like, he was really in the running for a podium there.
Yeah. I was like, wow, are we going to see Graham win?
Like, at least on a podium?
Yeah.
That, like, it would have been so cool because, I mean, he's a driver that's been in the sport, and people say that he's, like, the Lance Stroll of IndyCar.
I don't think so.
Well, just, like, the nepotism.
Yeah. But...
You think Ray Hall is more talented?
I do.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean...
In his respective sport?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Lance on a podium right now? Not happening. I can admit that.
I didn't say anything.
But yeah, and then... So, I was keeping up with the practice times, but I saw Louis Foster was, like, topping the charts of the practices, and I was like... He's a rookie. Mind you, like, in RLL, and that's not all, like, it's not that they're a bad team. Like, Christian Lundgaard did win with RLL in Toronto like 2 years ago. They have their moments, but they're not ones that are often fighting for podium, is what I'll say.
Yep.
So to see all three drivers in the Firestone Fast Six, I was just like, who was I talking to? I ran into a friend at Superstore, like in the parking lot, who also watches Indy, and she was like, I'm not saying a name here because I don't want to, like, throw her under the bus. But she was like, is RLL cheating? Like, I'm not someone who thinks that, but are they cheating? And I was
Can you tell me who it is?
Yeah, it was,
Yeah, okay.
She was, like, a diehard IndyCar fan, right?
Yeah.
But I know, I was like, there's, like, they did something.
Yeah.
And, like, props to them. Mm-hmm. Devlin definitely did fall back a lot. Mm-hmm. Did not have a very good...
There was a chance, though, for him to overtake Palou for the lead. And I was like, what the fuck? Or I guess, I guess Graham was still ahead. But I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
I know. I don't know.
Dev's going to overtake Polo?
I know.
We're watching. But
yeah, we haven't seen Dev and DeFrancesco take the lead in like 2 years, I think. When he did lead.
He did lead that one race.
Yeah, because we were watching it. We're like, it was like the blue and green car that he had.
The blue and pink.
Was it blue? It was blue and pink. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's been like 2 years again. It was just a wild moment to watch just as someone like, we know these teams. We know who's like fighting for the podiums all the time. RLL is not ever or hasn't historically been one of them.
In recent year.
Yeah. And then Willpower.
Yes, Willpower.
Finishing third.
I'm feeling bad for Colton these days.
Me too.
I'm feeling really bad for Colton because I think he deserves better.
It's so shitty.
Yep.
He's such a good driver. It's just not his...
his pit crew. Well, okay, so... So, mind you, this one was not on... He has had some bad pit stops in the past... Well, since the start of the season, actually. So, I mean, there's a little bit of blame to be put there. He did have an issue early on. He had front-end contact. Mm-hmm. He needed a new front wing. But when he went into the pits, I don't think they knew it was wrong.
No.
So, they changed his front wing. They refueled him. And then they changed his tires.
It was like chaos all at once. And it was so early on in the race, too, that it didn't make sense for a tire change, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. But I think if they were going in to replace the front end, they were like, well, let's get a pit stop out of this, too, since we have to
get
all of our compounds. But I am confused.
Especially because
the order of operations was weird.
Yeah, no.
I feel like they didn't know what was going on. I mean, it was lap 2 or something like that, so.
I know. Well, no, you need to run at least, well, I guess you need to run a certain amount of laps on the compound.
It was, so, it like, was lap 2.
Yeah,
so yeah.
It was still, ugh.
Yeah, and then Kiffin didn't really even start.
No, he didn't.
He had a gearbox issue.
I felt so bad. And then Joseph, before it was like he went back into the pits, like, when they were doing their pace laps.
Yeah.
Like, he went back in the pits to change something. So I don't know, like, Joseph's also not having a very good season. Like, there's been a few issues after another, and I feel bad for that.
I know. I'm really like,
but he's also really good at ovals.
I know, that's, I'm like, I have my eye on him right now, because Joseph Newgarden on an oval is much different than Joseph Newgarden on a street course and a road course for the most part, and we start ovals now, so, and he has won the last two Indy 500s, so I am really interested to see what that team's going to be able to do at the Indy 500 and going forward. But yeah, they have not had a good start to the season. There's some other drivers too that are really good in ovals that we don't typically see do well in road and streets, though. Santino Ferrucci, David Malukas, Rinus VK is good on an oval, like, and he's been doing great, really great with the Dale Coyne on the road and street courses that we've had recently as well. So there's lots to watch out for in the next few races, and I'm excited that we get a little bit of a change of pace. Like,
two questions: who do you think's getting pole for the 500, and who do you think's getting bumped?
Ooh, okay. Pole, I'm going to say.
Remember, it was a Penske lockout last year.
I know. And I want to say Scotty, but I just don't know. Like, the Penske's really, like, I don't know. I'm going to say, this might be crazy, but I'm going to say Kyle Larson, actually.
Okay, I was thinking Kyle Larson. Really? It was, like, in the back of my mind. I'm like, he was so close. Like, not last year. I mean,
yeah.
Well, yes, last year, but also like the race itself last year. I was like, this man's gonna podium.
I was telling my dad when we were watching this, the IMS road course, about how last year, how Kyle was like in the running and then had a speeding in the pit stop. He had to do a drive through penalty.
Finished 17th.
Or in the pit lane, finished 17th. Yeah. And it was kind of wild because he was kind of in contention there for a while. So yeah, I'm going to go with Kyle.
I'm also going to go with Kyle.
Okay.
I think Kyle's going to get pole position.
Who's
for sure.
getting bumped?
Okay. I'm looking at this list of who's all in there. I am really sad to say this because, like, I like Prema, but I think Robert Schwartzman's
getting bumped. That's a good one.
Just because Prema's a new team.
Yeah.
Prema's new to ovals.
Yeah.
I don't know how much experience Robert Schwartzman has in ovals.
Right. Callum does. We know that. Yeah. So he should be okay.
And so, and just like these last few races, they have not been one of the teams to really look out for. So I think he's getting bumped.
That's a good one. Who?
And he's a rookie also. Anything?
I don't know.
Do you want to look at the list of who's all here?
No, I... Because some of these guys come in and this is the only race they do, and they...
And if I get so emotional when someone gets bumped. Know what? Like when Nolan got bumped last year.
I know.
I wanted to cry.
The Andretti was not good on at the 500 last year. Marcus was fighting for his life to even get in.
Yeah. But Marcus was using his reserve car.
He was using the reserve car. He was.
But even then, it's still not very good this year. Marcus and Colton, neither of them.
And Colton, I know, like Kyle, no, Kyle's fine, but I'm like, I would never want it to be Colton. You know what? My final answer, without really any thought, except for the fact that he was bumped 2 years ago and he was almost bumped last year, Graham Rahal.
See, it was 2 years ago when the first 500 we watched, and that was the first 500 qualifying I watched, and like watching him get bumped, like I cried. It was so sad. And then he ended up racing because he replaced a driver that had an injury.
Jack.
Was it Jack?
Fairly certain it was Jack.
I don't remember who it was.
Pretty sure it was Jack.
You are probably right. I hope it's not Jack.
I wasn't even going to say because I don't want to jinx it.
I don't want to jinx it.
I love Jack.
We can move on.
I love That's Jack all Harvey. yeah.
Ugh.
What else do we have?
Those are all my notes.
I don't have much else.
I'm just looking forward to qualifying now.
Man, I am so excited.
And Imola is this weekend.
Imola is this weekend, yes.
Do you know the name of the track?
I did.
You did last year.
It's the 2 years ago. It was like the Gran Premio dell'Emilia Romagna.
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
You got it.
I'm close.
Do you think Oscar's going to win again?
Ooh, no. I'm going to say no.
No.
I don't know who.
Oscar's won so many races.
He's doing so well. He's doing so well. I don't know who, but I don't think Oscar, but I don't know. I'm not going to make a prediction because I really
I'm not
going to
make
know.
A prediction. I can't. F1's so unpredictable this year, which is like a huge shift, like a 180 from the last few years when we were like, IndyCar's unpredictable. We don't know what's going on.
I know.
We're not even going to get into 500 predictions.
No. We also have, like, I'm trying to push it, you guys, 2 Tokyo FE races this weekend, and the Tokyo races are so cool.
I didn't know
down the streets. Tokyo. It's street circuit, and it's like a night race. Or it was. And it's so fucking cool.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
They're so good. You guys have to.
Guys, these races are so short.
They're so
short.
It's not,
and they're not boring.
But also, since it's in Tokyo, it'll probably be on, like, we're in central time, like around midnight or 1 a.m. probably. So that's like...
That's doable.
On a Friday and Saturday night. Like, what else are you doing?
Nothing. Jets game will be over by then.
Oh my God, you guys. Wait. We haven't recorded since game 7.
No, we haven't.
I can't get back into that. I can't relive that because I just...
Stress. High stress. High anxiety.
I was so stressed.
Yeah.
But I still, like, we're 3 games, almost 4 games into the second round against Dallas, and I'm still, my mind, my body physically is still back in game 7 of the St. Louis series because I cannot believe that they pulled that off.
I know.
Truly. Like, I was by myself. You guys, it's the saddest thing in the world. I was by myself.
You're a hockey fan. Like, you watch Formula One by yourself. It's the same thing.
But I you're right. But
hockey is so much more fun to watch.
I've always watched Formula One alone.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why this podcast exists. I don't have anybody. I didn't have anyone to watch Formula One with. Now my family's into it. You're into it. Mm-hmm. Friends are into it. Blah, blah, blah. Hockey's always been a social thing for me.
Yep.
So to be in my apartment by myself, I also thought it was just done. And here's the craziest thing, guys. I'm superstitious, okay? I told you about the nachos.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about the nachos.
Well, guess what? I didn't have nachos on game 1 and they fucking lost. So that's on me, guys.
So
sorry
you have to go
about
back
it.
To nachos.
I did have nachos yesterday. They also lost, but it seems to only work at home games, which we'll have one on Thursday. So nachos again. Okay. But here's the other thing. So game 7, when they tied it up, I have a tick. I cut my hair. I have like mini scissors and I cut my hair, my split ends and stuff off.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it all the time, but especially when I'm stressed, it's like a
weird
regulation thing. And I was cutting my hair when they tied it up. So I was sitting in the dark for the next 2 hours while we were in overtime. I couldn't see because it was dark, but holding the scissors and my hair in my hand just because that's what had happened when they scored. And I called my parents when they scored because they had given up on the game. They went on a bike ride. Yeah. And I was like, you guys, I tied it up. And they're like, okay, we're not coming home. So my parents sat outside in a park across from their home for like 2 hours till I called them and told them that they scored the overtime goal because they couldn't go home.
No.
Like the superstitions are deep.
Insane. Like
deep.
You do one thing and it works. You have to do it again.
Yeah. I haven't worn the same white shirt when they've lost one.
Okay.
I can't wear the same white shirt.
No.
I have to continually buy new white shirts because if I wear the same one, they lose. So if anyone wants to donate to the white shirt, superstition. I'm going nuts.
Clearly.
I'm going nuts.
But you know what? I'm really into the playoffs this year. Like it's so good. It's so good. And yeah, last night's game was disappointing.
But. It was a little bit, but
it's okay.
It was a bad rule call by the officials.
It was bullshit.
It was bullshit. People have noticed that now. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You have to think about the psychology of sport. Mm-hmm. The referees fucked that one up and pretty much handed Dallas the game because the Jets were deflated after that call. Whatever. They fucked it up. The call was completely wrong based on the rule book. They can't have Dallas win the next game now.
No, because
they fucked that up. Winnipeg has to win the next game. Yeah. So you're listening to this on Tuesday tonight. Jets are going to win.
They have to. They have to.
And then Thursday they come back to Winnipeg. They don't lose in Winnipeg, really.
They can't.
So I think we're still okay. We're still alive.
We're okay.
A listener of ours who I frequently talk to about hockey is a Dallas Stars fan. We are going back and forth in the DMs, respectfully. Do you want to give me a hyperfixation? Or are you still on hockey? What's your...
I don't think I have a new hyperfixation this week, unfortunately. Nothing. Just hockey, so.
Okay.
Patios. Well, it was for like 2 days. Because it was hot here. And now we're getting snow next week.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
We don't even talk to me.
Yes, 34 degrees Celsius today, and it's going to be a Colorado low of like 2 degrees. My hyperfixation of the week is peach Bellinis.
What the fuck?
I know, sorry. What? It's just always something new. I don't know, man. I'm like back. I don't really drink. Like the funny thing is that like I don't really drink. Yeah. And you know that.
Peach Bellinis are good, though.
But like I'm going to have a drink, a peach Bellini is like not an Aperol spritz usually, but... It has to be a little... Now it's warm enough for an Aperol, but...
Peach Bellini.
The bar that...
Those give me... Do you go to Brown's?
Yeah.
Okay. I looked at your location. Yeah.
You can look at... Hey,
I know, because I was wondering where you were watching the game, if you were at the game or at the Whiteout, and I was like, she's at Brown's.
I was at Brown's for 5 hours on Saturday, probably.
With your family or friends?
So my parents went to the game. Okay. So we went to Brown's first. They had a drink there. Then they left to go to the game. And her friend went to the street party. I stayed, two of my friends met me at Brown's, and then my sister and her friend left the street party, came and joined us, and then my parents left the game and came and joined us after.
And you had peach Bellinis?
Oh, yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. And also, Bubbly has a new peach one, a Bellini Bliss.
Oh, right? I thought you were talking about the peach Bubbly. I don't know if it's new, but I just tried it, and I love it.
So that one's been here for a while. In the States, we have Bellini Bliss Bubbly, which I don't drink in the winter, but in the summer.
Did you bring some home?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I want to try some.
Yeah, I can bring it all around peach Bellinis. Also, fuzzy peaches are Canadian. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Because I said that I was doing a fake candy dump trauma salad.
I know what you're talking about, but that's not it.
Trauma dump candy salad.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay. And I said something about, I'm Hannah, blah, 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 I'll bring peach Bellinis. And
we have to wrap this up.
And I'm bringing fuzzy peaches, and the Americans looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? That pizza pops, Swedish berries have been the things.
Well, pizza pops are invented in Winnipeg.
Didn't know what?
Yeah, the inventor of pizza pops, like the pizza pops were, it's a Winnipeg creation.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding.
Wow. Mind blown. I love this city.
We have Whiteout and pizza pops.
Pizza pops. Okay.
This
cut me off.
Yeah, we're done.
Oh shit.
What?
I wanted to put something in there about the local
podcast. Oh frick, you're right. Rewind.
A couple months ago, a a local.
I forgot it was a couple months ago until the photos came out, and I was like, I'm a... until it came out and the photos came out, and I was like, oh, I'm brunette in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that.
So a couple months ago, we got invited to do a local podcast called 204 Rise. Our area code in Winnipeg is 204, so that's where the name comes from. And it's kind of, it's a local podcast that highlights people in the community that are excelling in whatever it is they are doing.
Yeah.
So they've had like real estate people from the city on, social media people,
artists,
mm-hmm. yeah, business people, and they entrepreneurs, and they asked us to come on, and we were like, yeah, let's freaking do it. So we went, and we don't, like, truthfully, like, we were not, maybe more now, involved in our local scene, our local, like, motorsports, sports scene at all, because you'll listen on to the episode, but, like, I mean, I kept Track Talk hidden for a long time, so, yeah. like, it wasn't something that we were, like, really promoting locally, but I thought it was a really good conversation. If you want to learn more about us, more about the start of Track Talk, go listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is stuff that we've, like, sprinkled in here and there
yeah.
from other, like, in other episodes, but it's a good, like, recap and, like, telling of just our journey, like, personally, how we each kind of perceived the podcast as it started and now, yeah. and then what we're doing now and what we want to do, so, yeah. like, go listen to it. We'll link it in the episode notes. Yeah. It's up on our, it'll be up in, it's on our, it's, like, our most recent post that we did, yeah. or it'll be one of our most recent posts, but it was a lot of fun, and the hosts were great.
Did you enjoy being the pod...
The guest. Yeah, I love attention.
I also liked being the guest. If anyone wants to have us on your podcast,
we'll talk about whatever. We don't even talk about ourselves.
No. You know I can talk about anything.
Yeah, go listen to the episode. It was good. It was fun. It was a good chance to just chat about ourselves.
Yeah.
But otherwise, this has been an episode of Allegedly's and a recap of the IMS road course.
We are Track Talk.
Catch y'all for now.